Hello and welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Big changes in Washington today as Democrats take over the House of Representatives. Party leaders like newly elected House Speaker Nancy Pelosi promise the president will face congressional oversight for the first time since he took office. The House of Representatives will be the most diverse in U.S. history, with more women than ever before, including the new Democratic representative from the 13th District, Rashida Tlaib. I spoke with her late Wednesday as she prepared to take the oath of office today. You know, I dug back. Let's go to a little bit of history. I dug back into our archives. The first time you were with us on Stateside was April 15th, 2013. You were a state representative from the 6th District. You were one of 56 young state and local elected officials. Do you remember this? You wrote a letter to then Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, House Speaker John Boehner, and House Democratic Leader Nancy Pelosi demanding immigration reform. And here we are, still fighting over immigration.
I know. But now at least I'm in the car, as I say.
You're in the car. Now, there has been so much focus placed on you as being one of the first two Muslim women being sworn into Congress and the first Palestinian-American woman elected to the House. Do you welcome that, or do you want to just kind of turn that down and just be the member of Congress from the 13th District?
I am so much more than the so-called first. And I didn't run to be the first. I ran because I have this pit in my stomach of desire to push back against corporate greed. I've always been that way, from if it was Maddie Maroon who's trying to build a bridge without a permit to the Koch brothers dumping petroleum coke on the riverfront. I'm so much more than just a person that people are saying is making history as a Muslim, is Arab and Palestinian, all these things. Even at home in Detroit, where I was born and raised, in the Wayne County neighborhoods that elected me, so many of them, you know, voted for me and supported me because they knew I wasn't going to sell them out. And they knew I had a strong work ethic. And, you know, my first bill is Justice for All Civil Rights Act. It's so much embedded into pushing back against corporations that discriminate, especially car insurance companies and so much more. But I know that even when I was the first member in the Michigan legislature, how it took some time for people to see beyond that and to see that, oh, wow, she's a lawyer and she fights against, big fights, especially against corporate polluters. And, you know, environmental justice issues are important to me, and so much on the issue around education and equity and funding, and so much more than that. And I think people know that I'm a Michigander, I'm a Detroiter. Born and raised, so much a product of that. But at the same time, I want to always honor my parents, honor, the history that they're part of, and the fact that I am making history and being one of the first Muslim women. But there's so much more than that. And I can tell you what makes me so much more inspired is the fact that I got elected by a majority community that is non-Muslim and non-Arab. This is a majority African-American white community. A lot of people think that I represent a huge Arab or Muslim community. I don't. It's less than 5%. And what I love is the other Muslim-American woman, Ilhan Omar from Minnesota, same thing, 70% white community. It's fellow American people that don't share the same faith as we do. Are the ones who elected us. I think that is such a powerful, inspiring story of hope, and the fact that we as a country, like, there's nowhere else that someone like myself, who has parents that didn't reach high school, that is the first to graduate from high school and college, is now going to be a member of the United States Congress. Even though we grew up poor, even though we are not part of what you call political dynasty, I'm not part of this kind of establishment machine that is in politics. I did it through hard work and through not selling out my neighbors and fighting for what was right.
As the national spotlight has been fixed on you since the election, there have been critical voices. Conservative pastor E.W. Jackson complained, I'm going to quote him here, the floor of Congress is going to look like an Islamic republic. We are a Judeo-Christian country. What do you do with those kinds of comments?
I'm an American, and so much of who I am represents the fact that we are a unique country. You know, you don't have a Canadian dream or a German dream. It's only the American dream. And so much of who I am and so much of my story and the story of my parents is so much embedded into the history, the rich history of our country. you know, just to quote my colleague Ilhan Omar from Minnesota, you're just going to have to deal, because we are truly a reflection of the American people. So much of who we are is reflective of our values and reflective of why we are such a unique country and why there is no other country that can tell you stories like ours. You know, where she's a refugee that came here, I think, as 8 years old, and me didn't speak English when I started school and coming from a really challenged background and community and so forth. I have to tell you, I mean, if there's anything I know, there's more people out there that are so excited about people like myself being elected, being here. I keep telling people here when they run into me, they think I'm staff or something. They hold me up as security. And I say, oh, no, I'm a new member. And they're like, oh, we're really sorry. Come on in. I said, don't worry. I know we're getting younger and more colorful. And I love that. I love that we are part of a large incoming class of diverse and young and women and mothers and all these things that I think are so spectacular about how we can really start connecting with the American people is by making sure that government is reflective of all of us.
As you become Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib, tell us more about that first bill, the Justice for All Civil Rights Act.
It is a bill that I'm so passionate about. Justice for All Civil Rights Act is going to expose the fact that, yes, 50 years ago we passed the historic act in 64, Civil Rights Act of 64, and it was diluted and in a way by the courts as they became increasingly more conservative. Judges started interpreting it in a way that allowed corporations to discriminate, especially car insurance companies that continue to practice insurance redlining. And one of the things that I want to do is restore what the original intent is and push back against corporations and corporate greed, where you can say, yes, you have to show intent, but you also can show that the impact of the policy in itself on the ground is discriminatory in practice. If you look at, for instance, driver's license responsibility fee right here in Michigan, you know that that was discriminating against low-income families, especially African-American males. And that should be enough to say there's a violation of someone's civil rights. It should not be at this higher threshold that these courts, again, layered with conservative judges, have changed what that it's supposed to have been intended to protect us from. And so Justice for All Civil Rights Act is going to open us up to looking at education and equity in our country. It's going to open up to looking at why, just alone in the 13th Congressional District, less than half of my families don't own their own home. They don't have access to mortgages. So many of my families are going to see that a lot of these practices that we assume that the 1964 Civil Rights Act protected us from, it actually doesn't anymore because of what the courts have decided to do, which is dilute it in a way that allows corporations to thrive.
What do you believe is the way to end this government shutdown, get federal workers back on the job and back to getting paid? How should this Democrat-controlled House respond to the president's demand for money to build the wall?
Look, we need to grow up here. You know, I think for me, I come with the lens. I'm a mother. I don't come as a Republican or Democrat. I'm a mother. I come in, I look at things so much more focused through that lens. I don't know how to describe it, but when I do come in, I see what the impact is. I don't just look and see, what did I run on? What am I? It's like, grow up. I tell everybody in the room, sometimes I want to clear out the room and just put some of us new members on there that are fresh from talking to the American people, who are tired about the divisiveness, about this continuation, we feel like, of the campaigning, the ugliness that happens during these election season. It's festered into what we have now, which is a shutdown of our government. I mean, there are museums here. We're here now, and people are, like, not getting paid for the work that they're doing currently. What it's going to take is the fact that you have to be responsible as a public servant. You cannot let people down so easily because you want to show that, oh, I ran on this, this is what I'm going to do. No, do it in a way where you can gain people's support on both sides of the aisle. Convince them that this is something that's important. Don't bully us. Don't intimidate people. And then who are the ones who hurt the most? Are the people, the American people. If you think about my neighbors and everybody that's impacted by it, the one who works at the federal building, all of those people are mothers and fathers and daughters and people that are really dependent on us to grow up and do what's right. And I'm so tired of people doing a lazy approach of trying to intimidate, trying to bully, and trying to do it in this way, because who gets hurt the most is not the members of Congress or the President of the United States. It is the people back home. And that's what's so frustrating. And I'm hoping that my second vote after the rules vote is going to be reopening our government.
And as you talk to the people of the 13th, your constituents, what are you hearing from them? What do they need from you and want from you as their representative in Congress?
They tell me in all different ways, but very direct, don't back down, Rashida, and don't sell us out. And I hear them because they say, don't be one of those that comes and we support them and then changes and somehow becomes disconnected with what's happening to us every single day. And that's why I'm going to create 3 neighborhood service centers throughout the 13th congressional district, where getting my residents through everyday issues is going to go hand in hand with legislative work. That's how I'm going to stay connected to them and rooted in community. And if I'm not there every single week coming home to see, oh, there was a fire in the neighborhood, or there is a corporate polluter that's really hurting a neighborhood in my district, or there is a school district that's struggling, all of those things are going to be something that I can see and live through with my neighbors and with my residents. And that's what they want. They want somebody that doesn't come here and gets enthralled into the culture here and gets completely disconnected and forgets their way. And that's something that I tell them, you know, being the eldest of 14, being a mother who has their children there, raising them, and I'm living in Michigan, I'm coming here to work for them, but I'm going to be there breathing the same air, sending my kids to the same schools. All of that is so important.
Tell us what you're going to wear at your swearing in.
So it's a Palestinian thobe. It's a dress with all these beautiful designs like flowers, birds, certain things like that. But when you see it, it brings you back to that kind of culture, the Palestinian culture. A lot of people in Jordan and other parts of the Middle East wear this dress. And so I'm wearing my mother's Palestinian thobe tomorrow. She's ecstatically happy. With any child, and you're a child of immigrants, they want you so much to succeed and so much to have the opportunities that they didn't get access to, but at the same time, remember your roots and remember where you came from. And so I think this is so much to honor her sacrifice, to honor her and who she is, and very much is embedded in who I am today. And I'm really excited for her more than anything.
Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib, thank you for speaking with us on Stateside.
Thank you so much.